Hi, I'm Carrie at www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hey guys, what's up?
Yeah, I remember her saying, I'm already dead. 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 I'm already dead.
Look, man, if you reach the stand up and hold your hands with some stupid symbols,
I'm already dead.
You're gonna get up and scream.
I'm already dead. I'm already dead.
You're gonna get up and burn an X in your head.
That's right. This is Ghostly Talk.
This certainly is.
This certainly is.
Yes.
Very interesting conversation going on here with John Zaffis.
John Zaffis.
Which we got to say thank you, John, for coming on the show. It really is an honor to have you on. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of
Thanks
which.
Thanks for having me.
Speaking of which, let's point everybody to the John Zaffis' website.
Absolutely.
With the Paranormal Museum. Throw out your URL for us.
www.johnzaffis.com, and that'll take you into all four websites on me.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there's a lot going
on
there.
There's a lot off of that website.
When I went there initially, I was like, where do I begin? Where do I start?
So johnzaffis.com, which of course is permanently linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah, you just go to our list, you know, the coveted hall of guests that were nice enough to come on Ghostly Talk per usual. Go down there and find John Zaffis' name, and you can go right to his website from our website if you want. Definitely, we'll have that linked up tonight for sure. Now, John, another quick question for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, how many times have you been to Gettysburg? I'm really interested about that. You mentioned Gettysburg, and now you have all of our antlers popped up in the air. How many times have you visited there?
Oh, you guys go. Give me a holler, and if I'm free, I'll meet up with you.
Oh, no.
I'd say good 30 times over the past upteen years.
Wow.
Sometimes it's unique because I've gotten into places and gone into buildings and things and been able to do investigation in some private residents and other things just in the local area, but sometimes people don't want it known and they just leave it alone. But
mm-hmm.
been fortunate in that respect in tying in with different people I knew down there too.
Excellent. Now, one of the things you mentioned about the story you told us about Gettysburg that got this whole thing going was
yeah, now we're talking about Gettysburg.
That when you were on the Saks Bridge, you actually, one of the ladies was actually playing music, am I correct? She was playing music.
She was singing it.
She was singing,
right?
She was singing it.
She was singing it. She was doing the battle hymn.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she was doing a couple of other ones. I can't remember them right offhand. But I was so intrigued that, you know, she even thought to do that. Because when everything was all said and done, and I said to her, what in the world ever made you think of that?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, she says, it's claimed, you know, that all the soldiers are here haunting everything. And she says, I thought, if anything, this would really provoke it and bring it forth. And boy, oh boy, did it ever.
We did a couple things when we were out there. Well, we did a couple things for real, and then there was one thing that was like a big idea we had.
And we didn't actually get that done because we ran out of time. But.
Yeah, that and, well, economically, we were like, yeah, we're going to blow up some money on this thing. One of the goofy things Will did, actually, which I thought it was funny, but it made a whole lot of sense, is we were actually at Devil's Den up there.
Oh, yeah.
And it started raining, of course. We were out there, you know, we drove all these miles to get there, and it started pouring rain the night we were out at Devil's Den.
So automatically photographs.
Yeah, forget it. It was a joke. So we got, there's that part, you might know where this is, John. When you walk up to Devil's Den, there's a couple of areas where you can literally walk. It's like the rock, it's like a rock, like a little cave formation kind of.
Which, yeah, there's two of them.
Yeah, there's the one in the very front when you walk up the pathway to get up there. It's
yes.
The first thing you see, more or less, is this little rock formation. Well, in order to get out of the rain, myself and Will just dove under this rock to stay dry, and we said, well, mm-hmm. we're under this rock. We might as well just do some recording.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the recorders going, and, you know, Will pulled out his cigarettes, and we both pulled our cigarettes out. We don't need to stand here and smoke. And Will's like, hey, and he said it out of nowhere, so I didn't really get it at first, but he's like, smoke? Anybody want to smoke? Smoke? Anyone smoke? And I turned around and looked at him, and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm offering him a cigarette. Maybe they'll want one, man. Maybe that'll help, right? Now, yeah, it's goofy. It's funny. But, you know, those little things tie in. The other idea, which we have to throw this out to you, John, because I mean, I know this will kill you, is that we had a gentleman with us by the name of Bruce, okay? And we say this over and over again. We couldn't have had, despite the rain, we couldn't have had a better person on this trip with us. This gentleman, Bruce, basically lived, breathed, and ate Gettysburg. This is what one of his big hobbies was. He opened the trunk of his car up, and he had like 400 books on Gettysburg in the trunk alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he did really cool things, like when we got to a certain area, he'd pull a map out and throw it on the hood of the car and go, okay, guys, check this out. What was going on is that these guys were coming over this way, and these guys were coming over this way, and then, well, to get around those guys, they went this way. He explained the whole battle plan, the way the whole thing worked out. So along with doing some really good ghost hunting, we had a really good history lesson along with that to really understand what went down at a certain area.
Right. Yep.
And Bruce himself, he looks
like
a person from that era.
Yeah.
He had the actual like little beard and like little goatee thing going, and he had an actual matching hat from the time. And when we first met him, we're like, whoa, okay, performance artist, what's going on here? what do we have here? But he was very much into this thing, right? So what our idea was to go to one of the shops in town there and try to rent one of a Civil War soldier's outfit from either side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then take this gentleman and just throw him out in the field, more or less. Have him run around and videotape him and just try to stir something up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which we thought was a really cool idea. unfortunately, he got termed, his nickname for the rest of the week, he got termed, we started calling him the bait, actually. We just called him the bait all week long because we wanted to use him as bait for these things. Unfortunately, they wanted a little too much to rent a Civil War soldier's outfit. We didn't think it would cost that much, so we had to scrap the idea. But just to throw it out to you, if you guys want to try that, it's an idea that we kind of thought up to try also. I'm sure somebody's already done it. But it's an interesting idea.
If anybody's done that, I haven't heard about it.
Oh, okay.
The only thing I have talked to a lot of the reenactors over the years,
mm-hmm.
and they'll tell you the best ghost stories going. I mean, that, you know, they're non-believers, but when they're out there, they're doing their thing, you know, when they're doing the reenactments and everything, some of the stories they tell you, it blows your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't believe in any of this stuff. So it's pretty wild. But doing something, you know, like that, that's a good possibility, because you got to remember, if the spirit is there, it's going to be attracted to the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And that, they're going to give that recognition, and especially if he looks like he's from that era,
mm-hmm.
it could have been something, you know, that would have been a dynamo with getting EVPs or even psychic photography that night.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we thought. We're like, this might stir something up out there,
mm-hmm.
and get something happening.
Get some, mm-hmm. yeah, well, like you said, recognition, and you know, maybe then it would put the energy forth to appear to us.
Exactly.
Somehow.
Yep. It wouldn't surprise me.
He was the perfect bait, I'm telling you. He was the perfect bait. If you want, we'll get you in contact with him if you want, and you guys can try him out.
Awesome.
He's more than happy to do it, too.
I got one guy in my group by the name of Ed, and he did the same thing with him. When he's with us and he's down there,
mm-hmm.
he can tell you everything and anything you want to know about any battlefield.
Wow.
Anything that's ever happened, any house, anything that was tied in with it. So not only the same thing with us, we get history lessons, plus we're ghost hunting.
Well, one of the interesting things about our trip also is when I was out there, I was just around I was on the road, actually, about 200 yards or so away from Devil's Den.
Mm-hmm.
And coming from the direction of Devil's Den, but maybe a little bit to the right of it from where I was standing, we heard drums. And we
mm-hmm.
thought, okay, that's interesting. We're hearing drums. And all three of us. The bait. It was
mm-hmm.
Bruce and Rob and myself heard drums.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I heard drums. And they were faint, and they were like over the little mountain there, or whatever it is, a little hill.
Uh-huh.
And they were faint. And of course, Bruce was like, oh, no, it can't be. They weren't there. There were no drums there.
Okay.
There were no drummers.
So
no
he totally blew that out.
It just is not there. So whatever we're hearing, it's not related to the.
It's a frog. It's a frog.
Right.
It has to be a frog or something.
It's got to be something else, because it's not anything from the past. It can't be. So when we made it back to the cars, though, he went into the trunk library. And
the trunk library.
The library that he kept in his trunk. And he searched and searched and searched, and within 20 minutes, he found references to how drums were used in the battle, and he pieced it all together, and he says, you know what? I was wrong. My instinct was that the drummers would not have been there, but being that the battles were happening here and here and here, and he would turn and point to the places, the drummers would have been back, so they would have been perhaps over that
other side
hill.
Of the hill, yeah.
Yeah. Because,
which would make sense.
Because the drums were used as communications. And so they would have been with the generals and the higher ups. So they were, and then they would, they would beat out the communications. So they would have not been in the battlefield where he thought they would have been on first instinct. But when he went in and studied it, he found that maybe we did hear drums. I mean, maybe that was a throwback from the battle.
Yeah, exactly.
See, but you know what the craziest thing is, and all of us do it in this work, is we hear these things, we experience these things, and it drives us nuts trying to figure out if it's our power of suggestion or did we actually hear it. I mean, we all do this.
Oh,
and then
definitely.
For the rest of our lives, it drives us nuts trying to figure out if it happened or it didn't.
Well, that goes back to what we were talking about before, though, John, the power of suggestion right there.
Yeah.
I've always thought that, honestly, the power of suggestion was not a bad thing, but it was something that, okay, look, man, it's just all in your head. You're not really seeing something in front of your eyes or hearing something with your ears. I told you about this place, and now you're letting your imagination run wild, and you're starting to see and hear things, or, one or the other, or whatnot. But you say it's more or less the power of recognition. That can it heighten? Do you think it can heighten your senses where you could actually see something or hear something for real?
All right, what happens is with your power of suggestion, it will heighten certain individuals that are with you. And here again, we're like batteries. We start throwing off a tremendous amount of energy. And if you've got, a group of people, 2, 3, 4 people, and something ends up happening or something gets experienced, then we go back to the same thing again where we're questioning it. Did it or did it not happen, or is that my imagination? These are the different types of things that occur with, I think, a tremendous amount of us in this field. And a key thing with most of us is we hope we got a tape recorder with us, and we got the tape recorder on. And sometimes it picks it up, sometimes it doesn't. That drives you even more nuts. Because then, you're still back to square one where you're trying to figure out, was that my thought process, or did it happen? But the key thing that I've learned, with this, if you got 2, 3 people with you or more, and they experience it and they heard it, and you all saying it exactly at the same time, we all heard the drums, how could you have not heard the drums?
Right. Yeah.
That's what I look for.
Because there wasn't a fourth that may have implicated it or whatever and said, you should be able to hear drums, and then you're listening.
Right.
Oh, maybe I do. Nobody said that. It's just like, everyone just, perked up their ears and started staring over the ridge and were like, do you hear that? I hear that. What do you hear? I hear drums. So do I. Okay, there you go. We just all agreed at the same time.
And usually that's what I would look for. And if everybody basically experienced it, that the people that are with you and you've worked with them a lot, they got nothing to gain by, giving you a BS story. Nothing. So, you could take all that into consideration. And here again, it's something I would loop into the paranormal, the unknown. All things that we're trying to understand and figure out. Why, at that certain time, why did that happen? These are the things that I still, to this day, I sink into. Why? Why at certain times? Why with certain people?
That's the problem right there. If we could predict that, then we wouldn't even be talking right now, John.
You got that right.
if we had the stats, we had the pattern, we could reproduce it over and over again.
We could be watching so-called reality TV or something until the next event.
Yeah. There you go.
But those are so many of the different things we're looking for and we're searching for and we're trying desperately from so many different organizations and so many different perspectives to document things, to be able to prove out why certain things happen. We know it has a certain chemistry with certain people, people mm-hmm. that are sensitive. You know, sensitive people are attracted to haunted houses. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that are all key factors and establish things over the years that, you know, you can look at that. It's a status quo when you see certain things happening.
Yeah.
When these people have gone through hauntings growing up and they'll move into a haunted house, it's like they're attracted to those types of areas. It's very, very, very common.
That's very interesting.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that over and over.
Well, you know, John, tell me if you notice this or not, and I'm not knocking anybody by it either, but when somebody finds out what you do, pretty much everybody knows what you do.
Yeah.
You're John Zappas, and, you know, I'm just little old Scott L. and little old Doug here, and we're just a couple of guys that just do this little show. But you're John Zappas, though, so I think this might not be as
big
a problem.
It might have a lot to him.
Yeah.
To us, we have to say, you know.
Yeah,
I do
this thing, and I have to explain the whole thing, how we do it. But you come in contact with somebody new, you may meet somebody new, and, well, yeah, I'm a paranormal investigator. Oh, man, I'm glad I bumped into you. And you're like,
oh, I still go through that.
Yeah, okay.
I still go through that.
Well, everybody I know has a haunted house now, it seems like. Everybody I talk to seems to have some weird thing going on in their house. I just got a phone call 2 nights ago from someone going, my sister's house is gone completely berserk. There's tigers jumping out of the wall trying to rip people apart and all this insane stuff that's going on. It seems like once you tell someone that, I guess, and there's a comfort factor for a lot of people, even in today's age where, you know, obviously talking about the paranormal, and I know you know what I'm talking about, too. Even to this day and age where it's a lot less taboo to talk about these things, there still is this comfort factor, I think, for a lot of people where they won't just, like, it won't naturally come up in conversation with one of their, you know, one of their drinking buddies, so to say, but they bump into somebody like yourself or myself or Doug or Will that say, oh, yeah, well, you know, this is what I do. This is my thing. This is my passion. And they go, really? Well, you know what? I've been waiting to bump into somebody like you because I have something I want to talk to you about. And they'll be comfortable because you're open. You're going to be more or less open to hear what they have to say as opposed to, well, unfortunately, what a lot of people might say. Well, God, you're crazy. You're not seeing stuff. This is all in your head. You're going nuts.
That's continuous. And, you know, I'm so used to it that it doesn't faze me anymore. But what drives me nuts, and it's no offense to anybody, but it makes it so difficult when my wife and I just try to go out and, you know, there's just times you don't want nothing to do with ghosts.
Oh, yeah. You can't do it 24/7, yeah.
You go to a wedding or anniversary parties or we go out to dinner or something and somebody will walk up or say something and it goes into this whole paranormal thing and you don't like to be rude to people, and you know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
you want to hear their stories, and the craziest thing is sometimes I'll just sit there and say, you know, I really don't want to hear anything right now. I just want to sit here and relax, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think most of us go through that. You know what I attribute most of this to now is that so much more is opened. You know, everybody's talks about it now. People bring it forth. I mean, you know, when you have a little 90-year-old woman starting to tell you stories, then you know.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Because older people just never talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, everybody and their brother will tell you a haunting.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
they usually preface it with, you know, I don't believe in this stuff, but
this is what happened.
Don't you love it?
we were at the Masonic Temple in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And the maintenance worker fellow there, you know, he was, like, standing there when we were checking in, and and he says, oh, you're the, yeah, ha-ha, you know, whatever. I don't believe in any of that stuff. He chased us down not once, not twice, but 3 times. I mean, we were going on a tour of the building with, you know, with the people there, mm-hmm. and so mm-hmm. we went, you know, we were, at any given moment, there was no way to predict where we would be. He hunted us down 3 times to tell us stories.
He doesn't believe it, but he had
3 stories for us that he had to hunt us down to find us to tell us. Oh, I remember this one time with the elevator, and told us a story about the elevator, you know, and I don't believe in this, but
yeah.
There's all this stuff happening.
It's always, and you know what's crazy, though, is these people that do this, I don't believe in this stuff, I don't believe in this crap, but... And they'll tell you a phenomenal story.
Yeah, and
it's usually something very compelling.
I mean, the story of the elevator, you're like, oh, my gosh. You know, and he's the guy who made... Sorry.
What was that?
What was that?
What was that?
There should have been a video on that thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. We got something in our headphones there, John.
Sorry about that, John.
You probably didn't hear that. So,
thank goodness.
Anyway. That's why I stopped cold like that. But the this is the guy who maintains the elevator. He knows the condition that it was in, and it was acting up, non-normally.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, paranormally. I mean, it's insane stuff.
Well, it is.
It's
really bizarre.
I think there's a certain line, though, John. Tell me if you agree with this or not, because, I mean, you obviously heard a few more stories than we have, I think. There is a certain line where you do talk to somebody, and they tell you a story, and I have been in these situations myself where they tell me a story, and I go, and I imagine, especially yourself, you have a pretty good sniffer for these things, too, where somebody will tell you a story, and it's so outlandish. Like you said a few minutes ago, John, a lot of these things that we see and hear are subtle hints a lot of times. They're not really, like, right in front of your face, like, hi, I'm a ghost, and I want to scare you. Boo! Right? They're more subtle things. I know I've been in contact with, a few people that have told me stories about certain things. They were so out there, it seemed. They just seemed so outlandish. They just had a couple of characteristics that just didn't settle too well with me. And I was like, maybe you had a few too many Budweisers that night. I don't know if you really...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You got to take all that into consideration. You really do.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because, when it's nice to tell you a story. It's nice to hear a ghost story.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's nice to hear about a haunting. But you know what? I want to know if it is. But, I mean, you are going to have people, especially with ghost stories, they will tell you tales.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, they could stand there and look you square in the face, and they are 100% convinced that this happened. And what cracks me up more than anything is when you find out it wasn't them that experienced it, but somebody else.
Well, yeah.
And that's what really is like, well, okay, but how much did the story get added to as it's getting told?
Because now it's become a retelling.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And when you retell things, it could get twisted.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's fine to hear a lot of stories, and you hear a lot of different things, but there are people that could stand there and tell me, about this horrific haunting, and I could tell that they're not telling me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You can instantly usually tell when people are making up a story just to see if you're going to react or not.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying about the sniffer part.
It's true. It's a good way to put it.
And I know several people. I know several people who, this is outside of my ghost hunting realms, but several people who just might do that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's a personality type who likes to join in,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the conversation, no matter what the, whatever you're doing, whatever you're talking about, they want to join in, they want to be part of it, and therefore they will attribute something,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be like, well, you'll never guess what happened to me,
mm-hmm.
and then they tell you this fantastic story about a bog in, Tennessee or something, I don't know, and they were attacked, and, by psychic vampires and all these things, and it's like, were you ever in Tennessee? They just want to belong, to the conversation at the moment.
And I'm sure you know about these too, John. There are the personality types that just want to debunk you.
Oh.
And unfortunately, I don't see what you're getting out of it, really. I think it's kind of asinine to do that. But there are, and we've come in contact with them ourselves. I'm sure you have too, John, where there are people out there that will just basically throw something out at you just to see, like you said, John, how they will react when they basically made the whole thing up. And we've had a few of those things happen to us in the past.
Yeah.
And that's what we tell people, I have a good sniffer for these things because...
you have to because, we got a lot of people that like to do that.
Yeah.
And they love... I call it head games.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
exactly.
They have nothing better to do with their time or what have you. I don't know. Sometimes I don't understand it. But do you know what the strangest and the most craziest thing is? I've noticed more so in the past few years, people that really like to get into debunking or ripping something apart, some of these people come from the wickedest hauntings. Believe it or not.
Really?
Because when a person does this, And they are so headstrong on giving you this fantastic story. They're getting into this whole thing and blah, 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 blah. And then they'll try to totally debunk everything that is associated with it. I've found where some of them have come from horrific hauntings. Now, try and figure that out psychologically.
Right.
The bottom line is they're so busy convincing themselves that they did not go through that, that did not happen, it was a figment of their imagination, therefore it does not exist anywhere else.
Yeah, it's completely
Now, how bizarre is that?
That's very bizarre.
and I can see where people would want to do that. Because there are the people who we've run into contact with who really don't want to know. They don't want to know that for a fact that their home is haunted, or not for a fact, but to the to the extent that modern equipment can detect that, abnormalities are happening in their house, that they, they're like, well, I want you to come in and investigate the house because it's notoriously haunted. And you're like, okay, well, and then talking to them a little bit later, setting things up and everything, you get the hint that they don't want to know.
Mm.
They don't want to know either way. They want to believe what they already believe, and they don't want to see the photos. I've run into folks who, I've run into folks who said, okay, now, you know what, just don't come.
Yeah, we've been through that a few times.
No more. We don't
well,
want you to come.
Well, I think we all have.
Yeah.
We all have. Here's a classic example. A house built in 1739. This house has documented history galore from day one all the way up to now with murders, suicides, you name it. And the activity that took place in this house was phenomenal over all these years, from 1739 right on up. The most recent owner of it never really experienced too much and really didn't believe that the house was actually haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bizarre type thing. Very, very stable woman. I gave her an enormous amount of credibility behind her. And she wanted to know if it really was haunted and if it wasn't. And if it really was, she wasn't too sure. She wanted to know what ghosts were there. Now, how do you figure all that out?
Exactly. It's a 400-page novel.
Yeah, I mean, these are the things that we all come up against. And, yes, have I been up to a situation where people are scared to death, they want you to come out and investigate, and at the last minute say, no, because I really don't want to know what's here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we've all come up against that one.
Yeah. And that's one thing I know I tell people all the time, that, oh, can you come check out my house? Can you come see my, we have something here. And the first thing I love to tell people, and I need to tell people this more or less, is, look, we're going to go here, we're going to take pictures, we're going to take audio, we're going to be doing all kinds of wild stuff. And if we get something on film or we get something on tape, we're going to show it to you. If we don't get something on film and we don't get something on tape, we're still going to show it to you or let you hear it. Either way, okay? So if you can't handle the first of the two, whether we might, hey, okay, look, this is something anomalous, we don't know what this is, we want to show it to you. If you can't handle that, then we're not coming. You cannot, if you can't handle that, I'm not going to be responsible for putting you into a psych ward.
Yeah, because you don't want to put people who have to live in the house, through any trauma about their very house.
Exactly.
And if they're not prepared to hear the evidence that you've captured.
Here's something, too, and I'm kind of glad you brought that up, with the trauma factor and the fear factor.
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst things that, is happening with certain, groups or organizations is when I first go into a case to investigate it, how can you come to a conclusion and turn around and tell them people that they have devils or demons in their house?
Well, exactly.
Oh, I can't tell
okay.
you how much, how
now,
in the past
this
sense,
this will get me so riled up to a point where, it just aggravates because here again, you planted the seed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they might have a haunting. It might be an escalated haunting. Granted, human spirit can only do so much. I understand that. But you have to look at your evidence. You have to look at what's happening. You've got to talk to the people. So when anybody walks into a house and within an hour or so can turn around and tell you that you've got demons coming up through the floorboards, there's something wrong. There's something extremely wrong with that. And that upsets me very much when I find out that people do that.
And I know
you got to be so careful.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's anywhere I've been where I can say, your house is haunted by, an angry retired line worker for General Motors. Okay, I can't tell them exactly what's in there. Much less, even a more generic term as, okay, you're haunted by a demon. I know I can't do that. I know nobody here on our show can do that. And I agree with you on that, John. I mean, people that make the...
And I know people who do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A handful of people.
So do I. But and it's something that, you know, they got to be a little bit more cautious and a little bit more careful when you get involved with these individuals, because you turn around and you make a statement like that, that's hardcore. And that could send a person off the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's something that I've always been like that. I've always been very, very cautious with determining exactly what we're dealing with right in an initial investigation. Very, very cautious.
Yeah. I don't think it would be right to do something like that to someone. And that's, like I said before, if you can't handle just the simple things we're going to tell you, like, see this picture here? We don't know what that is. If you can't handle something as generic as that, then we won't do it. We will not
right.
do it. And much less going, yeah, this place is haunted by a whole gang of Latin Crypt demons or whatever. I don't know. Really mean demons with bandanas on.
And fangs.
Yeah, and fangs.
Yeah.
Ben, you got problems. We got problems. We need to take care of it. I mean, that's wrong. I agree. That's so wrong to do that to people. And it's an interesting thing to think about, too. There are people out there that somehow they can get a good picture of, you know, what is actually walking around the house. It's some little demon with a pitchfork and a set of horns, apparently, which I think is ridiculous, personally. But
well, if I ever see anything like that, I'm running.
Well, yeah, so am I. So I'm not saying I'm not scared of it, but the people...
No,
I know
what you're saying. It's just, I don't know, it's just something that bothers me a lot that I'm hearing in... getting involved with more situations where this is occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are terrified of the house now. And here again, from the power of suggestion,
mm-hmm.
from the power of all these different things that are occurring, you know what? They're going to end up bringing something in on a negative level.
They could. They because
yes.
you can manifest things. That's the whole basis of earth magic. Is that people have the power to manifest
things. Yeah.
And if you want something, you just might well get it. Or if you know think about something, it just might actually happen. What's the common phrase? Don't wish for something.
Don't wish for something.
Don't,
you just might get it.
You just might get. Yeah. Don't something. It just might happen. Or I don't remember that common phrase.
Well,
but,
here again too. Now see, the way I refer to that is the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's almost on the same basis where that person has that in their mind now. You know that's there, and it is happening. Therefore. 99% of the time, it's going to end up happening.
Right.
You know, whether it's something the person had brought forth or it's something that is in a home. These are the things that are very critical, because my way of thinking is the fact that if you have spirit, spirit attracts spirit, whether it's good spirit or bad spirit,
mm-hmm.
and it can disguise itself. So, therefore, I think you got to be extremely careful with determining those types of situations.
I agree.
Completely.
I agree. And it needs a lot more investigation. I mean, you need a lot more time than an hour or a night
to actually determine
a demon.
Even with a medium, in my opinion.
You would still want psychological profiles. You would want, drug histories
mm-hmm.
and, you know, different things of the experiencers.
Mm-hmm.
You can't determine something like that.
One real quick story.
Here's a good thing that's a controversial here again today.
Mm-hmm.
I work with mediums. I work with psychics. You know, these are people I've been around for up 10 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what they're about. And I know, you know, when they do pick up on something, they don't overreact. They're not throwing themselves on the floor screaming and hollering. I've seen that, too.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all been through this. I mean, they throw themselves on the floor like a flapping fish. You know, the scare factor.
Mm.
But anyways, with this, it's important because some of the information that they can come forth with and they can give you can help you on an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're dealing with a legitimate person that is gifted. And you can incorporate this and take this as one of your tools along with your scientific tools and incorporate these things and document these things on what that medium or psychic or whatever you want to call them is picking up on.
Absolutely.
That, to me, is the coolest thing that we can do today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that person walks and says, all right, there's a cold spot over here. You know, right away everybody goes with the meters to see if they're picking up on the temperature dropping.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is the most hardcore thing you can get to documenting on what that psychic had picked up on.
Exactly.
You know, here again, a lot of these things you incorporate and you bring them and you use them to be able to help you with the case or be able to help the family and, you know, not turn around and say, okay, because that person's a psychic or a medium, they're all necessarily going to be wackadoos, because I don't necessarily believe all of them are.
Mm-hmm.
I've met my share, I'm sure, just like everybody else has.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Yeah, you know.
But there
are
some that have convinced
credible
even me.
People out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's only a handful there. John.
We only have a few minutes left.
Yeah, unfortunately.
What's coming up for John Zaffis? What's on your plate? What are your projects?
Well, my biggest project's going right now. I'll be on Discovery Channel. Discovery Channel I'm going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
You will see me on a couple of episodes of Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, all right.
This season, this upcoming season?
I believe it's for this upcoming season.
That's...
Grant and Jason are very, very good friends of mine. I've
mm-hmm.
known them for years.
Mm-hmm.
And we intermingled with a couple of things. And the AMC Channel, I also will be on that sometime in the fall. And I will be lecturing from the end of August into December all over the U.S. at colleges and universities this year.
Any in Michigan?
Will be,
are you coming to Michigan?
Yeah, actually, I think there's a couple of universities.
Really?
Well,
yeah,
there
yeah,
we go.
You're going to have to, yeah, I wish I could tell you which ones they are, but
we'll
I
watch,
get so confused when they're doing
we'll
the booking.
We'll keep in contact with you.
And we'll
cool?
watch your webpage, of course, as everyone should.
I was just going to say, look on my scheduled appearance page, and I usually try to post everything on there before I go on the road.
That's,
because
yeah.
Like
well,
I
that's
said, this cool. year, I'm on the road, I go back to lecturing the last week of August. And so far, from what I've seen of the schedule, it sounds like I'm going to be going into December this year.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
You're going to be busy. Well, it sounds like you're...
That's awesome.
How do you keep up? I thought I was busy, John.
Well, you think that's bad. I work a full-time job on top of it.
Oh, man. I don't know how...
So we're going to definitely
gets,
keep
gets
up.
Difficult.
Yeah,
we just
imagine.
Went to two cities in Ohio, and I feel like I've been hit by a truck. I mean, yeah, it's like, man.
Well, we're going to definitely keep in contact
I got three
with
books
you.
Going. I got three more books going. Midstream of all these other things I got going.
You're
on.
Making me tired thinking about this, John.
Four websites, three or four projects for television channels, the upcoming tour,
yeah.
and three books. That's a full plate.
Yeah.
Full plate.
Yeah, it keeps me going. Plus, in between, I try to do investigations.
Right. Oh, yeah, because that's what we do.
That's
yeah.
what we do, exactly. That's
what you do for fun, then. And I don't know. This is insane. But good
well,
job.
I think we're
going to
let
so
you go, John, so you
it.
Can go to bed and get some sleep. I think you need to get some rest in here. We're going to definitely keep up with you on that, because when you do come to Michigan, we're going to come by and visit you for sure and come to one of your lectures. That would be really great to do, I think.
Hey,
for
it'd
sure.
be great to finally meet you.
That would
excellent.
Be, that would be so neat.
Why don't
yeah.
you hold the line for a minute, John? We're going to close the show out real quick, okay?
Okay. Yeah, hold line for just a
just
moment.
Just hold the line for one moment. We're going to close out here, and we want to talk to you afterwards for a second.
Just for a quick second.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's okay. Yeah,
what we want to tell folks to close out the show.
What's that? Is something new?
This is not new.
Okay.
First of all, we have to thank everybody for listening.
Yeah.
Right? Thank you so much for listening. Check out the podcast distribution that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the different ways that we distribute Ghostly Talk through
mm-hmm.
the website, of course, in the archives,
mm-hmm.
Through the podcasting, and then, of course, through the various channels such as Pioneer and Indie Music Exchange,
Radio New York International,
and upcoming KQRP in Salida, California.
We're going to be on there.
They're going to interview us.
They
yeah.
want to talk to us for some reason.
So
at the end of this month, we'll let you guys know what's going on.
Yeah.
But we're going to be the interviewee for a change.
Update our website. Anyway, our website is, of course, www.ghostlytalk.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, John Zaffis of
www.johnzaffis.com
for making an absolutely fascinating hour and a half.
Yes, definitely.
So, thank you, everybody. That's the show. We'll be here on Wednesday night for a special.
Well, guess who? Somebody guess who is going to be on here this coming Wednesday.
I sound like an owl. Who?
Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins is going to be here.
Henry Rollins.
I don't know
rocker.
I don't want to get into it. I'm still blown away. I don't know what's happening.
But his career is just amazing. He's a rocker, a punk rocker guy. he's on independent film channel
yeah.
as a film critic.
Yeah,
he's done everything. He's been all over the world. We're going to be talking to Henry Rollins.
Just before we get into that, just because people are going, what are you going to talk to Henry Rollins about? He's not a paranormal investigator. Henry Rollins has been all over this planet. He has seen things that will make probably anybody in this room just fall over and just gasping for air,
mm-hmm.
probably.
Yep.
And it's a real rare opportunity for people like us to get to talk to a gentleman of this sort.
He has stood before the Sphinx in awe.
Yeah.
You heard that on the way down.
We talked about that.
So we'll be here on Wednesday.
So we're going to be probably talking about Egypt some more. So
yes.
If you don't like Egypt, don't listen. Go away. We're out of here, man.
Thank you, everybody.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And we're out of here, guys. We got to run. Have a good week. We'll see you on Wednesday. HR.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Only the corrupt are listened to loudly. The media, become the media.